We're learning from Shmuel Shapira's biography in the book Hasarah from Aaron Flieger on page 84. We're up to the time when he first got close to Breslov. He's talking about himself a little bit. So, Sukkot of Likutei Halachot. He was getting close to Breslov. Shmuel Shapira was a main thing in his very rich, spiritually rich life, and opened a new page of life full of chius, full of livelihood, full of burning to Hashem. Breslov Parta, how do you say the guy does the guitar?
Musician?
What
is it?
No, what is the guy doing?
Playing? Strumming the string.
Right. Yeah. Breslov strummed on all the strings of his soul with sweetness and spiritual pleasure, and it lifted him up a lot higher from the level of just the mobs, people, that mob of people, the way they live. He used to walk in those days in the beginning like an angel that unfortunately, against his will, got stuck in this world. Yeah. The power that moved him so much, right, was he hated this world. He hated anything to do with physicality.
Physicality,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was days that the Sarah. The storm was so great in him, so big, moved so much. For 24 hours, he was just cleaving to Hashem. 24 hours. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't hardly sleep in the beginning. The Chag Sukkos, right after he got close to the Breslov, it was a few months after, 2 months after, 3 months after, the body already became mamash a hazard for him. It was bothering him. He couldn't live in his body. He couldn't sleep from the fire that was burning in him in the beginning. Right? And he finished in 8 days the Holy Kutah. He didn't sleep. He finished in 8 days of Sukkot. 7 days of Sukkot, the Shmini Atzeret, the Holy Kutah.
It's about 7,000 pages.
Yeah.
7,000.
He didn't sleep. What do you want? 24 hours. From those days, the Kutah Lachot was the candle on his feet to show him the way.
Was he married at the time?
No, he wasn't married yet.
Rav Natan says, the Kutah Lachot, he got his own book. My book is Gan Eden.
Gan Eden, yeah. In a certain aspect, this book changes life, right? Because Rabbi Natan explains how to do what Rabbein was talking about. That's why it's higher than Likutei Maran in a way of practicality. Rabbi Natan, without Rabbi Natan, you can't understand Likutei Maran. He also, people ask him, what should I learn? And he say, Likutei Halachot, every day, Ezra, every day. Likutei Halachot, open the book and read. No, he's working on his Rav Kamer in English. Right? Video. He used to explain, every day a person experiences ups and downs and falls and breaks and stuff like that. And Rabbi Natan talks about all these situations. And that's what you're going to know what to do. You don't want to know what to do when you fall. How to fall, how to get up. You have to read Rabbi Natan. You must. Okay? When one of the important people in Breslov, years later, asked him, what's the right way we should do? He said, I don't know. No, please tell me. So Shmuel said, make to yourself a rule. They shouldn't pass one day that you did not learn Kutah Halachot. Even on Yom Kippur, he said. Every day. Like, Rav Natan, I'm here. I recommend this year very much. You go to Rav Natan this year?
Yeah, I'm podcasting it. Really is trying to.
You go there?
Yeah. Good. If I don't, I download it and repodcast it.
Good. Unbelievable shit. That's the Kutah Halachot. Everyone knows that. Besides the Rasulullah himself.
It's so clear,
amazing.
And he gives it over so clear.
So clear.
Yeah, the only problem I have is naming it.
The Kutah Halachot.
Because some of them, like Likutei Dayanan or something like that.
Tomorrow, Andrew Zabeno.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Iver meratzon, blind from will. Getting him close to Torah Avinu turned him into a burning coal.
Fiery coal.
Fiery coal, yeah. That turned him to a burning fire. His life was not broken up to items or the things that happened, this and that. No, no, no. His whole life was just a she'ita. How do you say she'ita? It's like a run. Oh, she'ita is a strong word. Forget. I don't know.
Swept up, maybe.
A gallop?
Gallop.
Stamp. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very fast run.
Running towards.
Right, yeah. That's why on the horse they gallop, gallop, gallop. Yeah.
That's the fastest a horse will go, is a gallop.
Right? No boundaries, no breaks. The top of the Kedusha, the peak of Kedusha, the light of Kedusha. At a later time of his life, Shmuel told one of his friends, right? On Purim, he used to get very drunk. But when he got very drunk, he had good things to say because the whole year he was silent. On Purim, he used to drink a lot. And then he had what to say. He said, "Oy, look how much Abenu packed up onto us. Here, look at my neighbor, Rav Eliashiv Natsal." It was his neighbor, door to door. Right? Look at him. He went to Torah from 2 o'clock in the morning the whole day. But me, beside Atalin Torah like he does, I just have to get up Chatzot. I just have to say Nikut Tefillot and learn Sitra Abenu and his students. I have to read Bulls at least an hour a day. I also have to talk with my friends, Sichat Chaverim. I also have to go to the mikveh. Look how much Rabbeinu put up on us. He wasn't less than Rabbi Yashin, I promise.
You mean the yoke? A yoke, you mean?
Already in those days, he surrounded his eyes with a choma. How do you say a choma? A wall. An armed wall of purity and separation from the world. His famous Shmiel Sinai was known Shmiel Sinai wasn't just getting used to, it was part of his main avodah in his holy life. Shmuel, not that he didn't look a lot out of Shmuel, he didn't guard his eyes, he was blind, he just closed his eyes, he didn't guard them. Sometimes he'd see just close eyes anything. He was acting like a blind man to anything which wasn't Nikut Maran, a shul, or a needy Jew. That, those things he saw. He saw Nikut Maran, a shul, and a needy Jew. His eyes were closed all the time, even at home. Only the shul used to open them. Only the mishnayish used to open it up. The years passed, and everyone knew that his eye guarding was like everyone knew Ahab Shmuel was coming. He was so afraid from any even look of this world and not to see anything which might cause him to even in his house he used to close his eyes. Something which made his feeling stronger that he's always in Galus. We're in Galus. And Shama's here in the world in Galus. The Geula, redemption, is in the work. He worked like the Nazis put in Auschwitz. They're right, but it's spirituality. The work liberates, that's true.
Say that over again.
What the Nazis wrote in Auschwitz, the work liberates.
Work will set you free.
Yeah, it's true. Which work? Spiritual work. If someone serves Hashem with all his might, he's a free man.
Even the material physicality world.
Yeah. One of the famous stories, I don't think they bring it in the book here, but the Rubinstein, he gets to go to the yeshiva every once in a while, half a year or something, every year. He's come and give stories, you know, a lot of stories on all the old wrestlers. It was the Levi Tzitzis driver, you know, Shul Shapiro, all the tzaddikim person. So he said that once of Shmuel was finished Nate, so it was like 6:30 in the morning maybe. And he's walking home with closed eyes, of course. And there was like an empty can on the road. On the path, and his foot got stuck in it, and he's walking. He didn't even realize. Imagine Mashalim. kind of loud, right? At 6 o'clock in the morning. He didn't realize. He just didn't realize. Some of you realize, if you want to do that, waking up all night, but he wasn't there. He was just... Well, I wish I knew him. You saw him, you say, right?
I don't think I ever saw him.
Maybe it's like you saw.
I saw Rabbi once. That's all. I don't think I was there.
The problem is that these tzaddikim, only after they die they tell us who they were. We don't know anything that they were alive.
Yeah,
only Rav Avadya. We were close to him, so we know a little bit. And once he got close to Breslev, he guarded his eyes even stronger and stronger. He had a sealed nefesh guarding the eyes. Guarding his eyes separated him from this animal, physical world. It picked up a armed wall between the body, the animal body, the behemi, right? That under its... He had to live for 76 years in the jail of the body, right? Between that and his life, spiritual life, this mechitza between the world and himself grew higher and higher, and the thicker and thicker. And the higher he got, the body became nothing. No, his body was never a consideration. His body was not a consideration. He decided something not because his body said, "Oh, I need to sleep. Oh, I need to eat. Oh, I need to..." No. He had no consideration of the body. Okay, we have to just learn from it. But we also have to know sometimes how to... Okay, the body says one thing, and then we need to do something else. Yeah. So, stop it.
But that is eating and sleeping. You must have slept.
Of course he ate. Of course he slept.